Well, CLCC, how you doing today? You're doing good? Whoop, whoop. You're not lying, are you? It's okay. You're in church. It's all right. Oh, no. Oh. Well, I just want to bring the word today. The Lord's been putting this on my heart, and I'm very happy to bring it. But I also want to see Him do some great things. Amen? Aren't you excited? Because He is great. He does miracles so great. There is no one else like Him. And if I got that song stuck in your head, you're welcome. I wasn't listening to Benny Hinn this morning, I promise. But He wants to do some great things in this house and in each and every one of us. Amen. So let's just pray. Well, Father, we just thank You so much for what You're about to do in this house. God, You're going to blow the lid off in some people's lives in this sermon today. You're going to blow the lid off in some people's lives this week because what You're going to do and what You're reproducing in their hearts and their lives. Father, I thank You so much that this is a good place. And it's a good place because You're here and You want to be here. You're in the midst of us. You want to do great things in us and to us and through us, but yet You want us to show out those things. You don't want us to keep it all for ourselves. You want us to go into the world and make disciples. You want us to go out of the four walls and live radically saved, live radically loved, and live radically with our identity based in You. We thank You, Father, for what You're doing in this house. We thank You, Lord, what You're doing in our areas of influence. We thank You, Father, on what You're going to continue to do in us and through us as we become more and more like You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, come on, church. Well, we've been going through a few things. Well, before I get into the sermon, I just want to make sure to invite everyone this Thursday night, 7 p.m., Encounter Nights, be here and enjoy His presence. That's all it is. Come, it's just no sermons, no anything like that. It's just a worship time. And we're just going to get close to God. That's all it is. We have Pastor Dennis C. I'll be coming to minister again through live worship. Had him here last time. He gave some great prophetic words. He did great, amazing worship. So happy to have him back. And so I want to encourage you, if you can, make it. Even if you can come for 30 minutes, it would be worth it. I can promise you that. So 7 p.m. right here at CLCC. Be here and be blessed. Definitely. So we've been going through a few things. I talked about transformation, which we've been learning a lot of transformation through the Ray Light series we've been going through, which has been wonderful, which we'll pick that up back up when, Pastor Kurt?
In September.
So we got to wait till September? Wow, that's a... Well, we do. I understand. Yeah, I know. So let's put this... Wow. Really? Is that what happens? I didn't even know.
Four people left.
Why, four people? Stop it. We had more than four. We had six. Seven. No, it was good. It was good. So, yeah, the Ray Light series we've been going through has been really helping in us identify our identity as well as walking out healthy actions and reactions and things like that and behaviors. So it's been really helpful in a godly perspective. So want to encourage us in September. We'll be doing that some more, but we've been going through that for then. Really feel like that the Lord still has me on the transition for today. So we went through transformation with me a few months ago. We talked about a lot about identity, but the Lord's really been laying on transition. And I want to talk about some transition things in accordance with Ray Light's actually ministry. And God kind of downloaded some things for me on that. So transition, just the definition of it, is the process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. All right. It's to undergo or cause to undergo a process or period of transition. How many of you love change? Oh, yes. I see the hands. So many hands. Hundreds of hands. Maybe one. Change. Who likes it? Nobody. Nobody. I don't know many people that like change. I mean, some people live in this chaos world where they're like, yes, let's just change everything. Let's get our four kids and let's go live in another state and things like that. That terrifies me. I mean, I don't know about you, but that's like, unless the Lord were to say something, and even then I'd be like, all right, Jesus. You know, some people love that, but I'm not a big fan of that. But we have to be able to change. We have to be able to transition. And if we can transition well, we really show how awesome God is through that transition. And when He brings us to that fullness of transition, that's awesome. That's when transformation has happened. So what I want to do is I want to go into some things that can help you in your time of transition, because we're in transition, whether you like it or not. We really are. Because transformation has happened. We know with Ray Light and with some of the different messages I've brought from Beth that we have a new baseline. We are no longer old creation living under old covenant that was with Adam or with the law after that. We are in the new creation where Christ has died for us, sanctified us, given us justification and righteousness. And we are moving in that covenant now instead of trying to do it all by works as is, was in the old covenant. We can move into the new ways and the new things. But how many of you know that when we move into something new, we kind of like to stay things kind of like they were? So we've had these great things, great sessions of transformation with Ray Light and different things like that. We've had all these great things, great sermons by Pastor Kurt, by Pastor Steph, Pastor Steve. We had some great things, but we kind of want to go back to what feels normal. And then we lose out on what we can experience in the new covenant. We lose out on the new patterns, the new beliefs. And we just kind of get stuck in a rut where we want to live in the new covenant. We want to get there. Yes, the new covenant is great. Justified by us by faith. All things great. All things new. A new creation. But we still have the tendencies of the old covenant where, oh, well, God covers sin and yeah, He covers all sin, but I sin a lot and I live as a sinner. And we stay under that kind of covenant, which is not holy, not biblical at all to live under that. We live under the new covenant, which His blood covers all. Well, we are slaves to righteousness, but we through His blood are redeemed. His cross covered all blood. His blood covers all sin. And He endured the full length of the cross. He endured the full punishment. He could have said, nope, I'm done. I backed out. The soldier could have hit him one last time when Jesus was getting whipped and beat. He's like, nope, I'm done. I did enough. We're good. He could have said that at any time. Dragging his cross out. Well, I'm done. I'm done. I don't need to drag my cross anymore. I'm finished. I did what I was came here to do. He endured it all so we could have our sins forgiven in all. The magnitude that He sacrificed is the magnitude of His grace and His forgiveness. Come on, somebody. That's good. We have to realize that. And now we have this new covenant. We have this new thing. We're like, yes, transition. And we're going into this and we want to believe this. But we still have these old things that hold us back. These things, these behaviors, these patterns, these roots. I mean, come on. From the time that we were born, it was all about me, wasn't it? Wee, wee. I want to be fed. Wee, I have a newer diaper. Wee. Get a little older. Mine. Every toy, mine. Become a teenager. I know everything, Dad. Jeez. You and Mom don't know anything. I'm looking straight at him. I'm kidding. He's a good kid. We become adults. Oh, it's all about my job, my 401k, my this, my that, my this. We are so programmed to be all about me. Let's get out of that. Let's transition to the new covenant where it's all less and not about us, but it's about Him. Amen. first thing we can do by walking in transition is our belief system. Gotta have this. Gotta have this. And this is what I've talked on a few times, but we gotta have this. And I've been hammering it with you guys, and you're like, oh, here we go. Identity again, man. Can you tell me something other than our identity in God? Can you please preach something else? Can you please share on something else? But it's so true. If we don't have our identity in Him, it's not going to work. Wanting to live in the new covenant, if we don't understand that Christ has forgiven us all and given us grace so that sin may be there, but it may grace may abound more, and realizing, hey, it's not sin, that we're dirty, rotten sinners all the time, that actually we can become righteous. We can live in the righteousness for what He's done. That we can go on and continue on moving in maturity in Christ. We have to get our identity in Him, knowing that we're not no longer with the old covenant by the law, the covenant with Adam, that we're with the new covenant. And you know when your identity is real. You know it. You know when it's real. Kind of like an example is I work at a bank, and you know I handle a lot of money, and you know I feel it in my fingers. I'm counting it and things like that. And then I see something kind of funny. I'm like, well, this doesn't look strange. This looks strange. This feels strange. Because I know what's real, I can spot the fake. If Christ living in you is real, then you can always spot the fake or the lies or the deceit or the condemnation, the guilt, the shame. You can always spot that. Because and with money, it's like, okay, this is real. And then you'll try this and it's like, this feels funny. So then you look at it for a minute. You're like, well, does it have the right markings? Like, because dollar bills have right markings. Does it have the right markings? Okay. Does it have the right denominations? You know, they have some things out there that people will do. They'll wash money and then they'll put different denominations on it. So instead of a $5 bill, they'll turn it into a $50 bill. Oh yeah. Tricky. They'll do that. Sometimes they'll even give you this other type of bill that says motion picture on it. It's true, but it looks just like the real thing. If you didn't look at it, it says motion picture right on top of it, but it looks just like the real thing. I mean, I've had somebody try this one time, but I mean, I can't say that it worked. I had somebody give me Monopoly money. And you kind of like, well, I know that's fake. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The same way our identity is of Christ. If we really know who we are in Him, then we can spot the fakes. Because it doesn't line up, doesn't add up. And when we look in the Bible, we see all types of people, especially in Hebrews 11, fathers of the faith, founders of the faith. But I'll tell you this, it's interesting because if these fathers and founders of the faith lived in the old covenant, it's a little scary, a little sketchy. And the reason why I'm talking about that is we see Joseph. You know, I'll use an example. Joseph, you know, told some dreams to his brothers. Brothers are like, we're sick of him. Let's go kill him. No, don't kill him. Some of us is a slave. All right, some of us is a slave. You know, then he becomes second highest ruler of all of Egypt. God's provision right there all over Joseph's life. Said, nope, no Potiphar's wife, because God inside of me, I want him more than I want that. Because how can I do that to my God? They're in jail for it. Joseph was a man of righteousness. It's like, wow, this is really good. And then you have people like Samson. And when I read, and Joseph and Samson are mentioned in the same chapter, Hebrews 11, and I'm like, and it says that it credited him as righteousness. And I'm like, how can Samson and Joseph be in the same line? Have you read Samson's story? Do you really know what he did? Do you? If you haven't read Samson in a while, go back and read Samson, because he was not the model of righteousness. Let me just tell you that right now. Definitely not. And even though he was technically righteous, he sure didn't act like it. He was a hothead that had super strength, it looked like, that God gave him. And sometimes even a fool at times. But yet Hebrews 11 says it as righteousness. And that is because of the new covenant. The new covenant that we were walking in says Jesus died for all those sins, past, present, and future. And we can be seen clean because of that. Come on, somebody. That means when, if, not when, but if you happen to sin tomorrow, it's forgiven. Come on. Things that you did in the past, things that might bring guilt, shame, and condemnation, forgiven. God does not see you like the world sees you. Come on. You can get excited over that, isn't right, Jack? We get excited over that because we're transitioning into the new covenant. We're transitioning into his new thing. We're being transformed. So identity, belief, number one. Number two, the attack on identity. Boy, isn't it true that the devil loves to attack our identity and things that we believe? Oh, he's so mean. So hateful. Identity through, he attacks through lies, guilt, shame, and fear. And you know why he does that? There's a lot of reasons why he does that, but one of the reasons is he can't stand seeing someone that has such an awesome relationship with God and knowing who they are in Christ. He can't stand it. Because when we have that right relationship with God, we have that current grace and standing with him. It doesn't matter. We can't be moved. We can't be shaken. Because it's not about us. It's about him. Come on. So belief was number one. We looked about identity. We talked about the attack on our identity. Now let's go into character. Oh, that's a big one right there. How to walk in transition. Character. Oh, that's fun. Romans 5 talks about character a lot. Perseverance produces suffering. Perseverance, character. You're like, oh, I don't like perseverance. I don't like suffering. Who does? Who does like it? But we can count it joy because God's bringing us through those things and working on us in such an awesome way. And character has two different things I'm going to talk about today. Character has roots. How many of you know we have roots that help define our character? You know, how we were raised, what feelings we had when things happened. Negative things or good things, you know. How we were raised gives us roots on what our character can be. Well, I was raised that way, you know. Down the South, I was raised that sweet tea was the only tea. And that's it. I've never heard of us unsweetened tea. That is just the devil incarnate from what I've heard. There is nothing wrong. There is everything wrong with, you know, I'm not saying that it is. Okay. For people that don't like sweet tea, I'm sorry. That's what I heard. That's how I was raised. You know, that's just the way things were. It's just like, what is that? And so, you know, we assume that. We're like, okay, that must be it. That's just how I was raised, our roots. And they can be good or bad. You had a good father? All right. Your good father helps you out with things. Maybe you had a father that wasn't so good or was more distant. That's how you raise. That's how you respond. And you've had this thing going for so long and raised in that, it produces that character inside of you. And it produces those feelings inside as well. Other parts of character are patterns and behaviors. Oh, yeah. Patterns. What a wonderful thing. Well, this is what I've done for years. This is how I've responded for years. This is the only way I know how to respond because my father taught me to respond this way or my mom taught me how to respond this way in this type of situation. So I'm going to respond this way. That's my character. And it says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So in the new covenant, we don't have to live in the patterns that we were used to live in, to the behaviors, to the roots. And I love how Pastor Steph said it a few weeks ago. I can't remember the quote exactly, but I loved how she said it about getting into the, not dealing with the fruit of the tree, but getting to the root of the tree. Because we all have trees that we, you know, we're like trees. We grow fruit. We manifest the fruit that we're growing. And if we have bad roots, those bad roots can produce not so good fruits. Is it true? Something that you're like, that's not a good root. That's not a good thing in me. And if we try to get rid of the exterior portion of the bad fruit, then we're not going to be able to do it. We have to get to the root of the issue. That's where that happens. And sometimes it's no easy task to get rid of behaviors and patterns and roots. It's not easy. Sometimes it's quite painful because it takes us to a place where we felt insecure, a place that we did not like, a place that we were in survival mode. And we have to be there and deal with that root. But let me tell you, when you go there, you go there with Jesus. When you're ready to deal with those roots, when you're ready to deal with those patterns, when you're ready to deal with those behaviors, you say, God, you can change all things. You've made me into a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You have making me into being more like you. Help me deal with these roots. And maybe he'll bring you back to a memory. Maybe he'll, you know, maybe he'll say, hey, why don't you go get a Zozo? Or maybe you might get a Connect Up or something like that. There's a lot of different tools that God has to help us to deal with some of these things, these unresolved issues. And he wants to deal with us because he wants us to be healthy. Because how many of you know a healthy Christian is an awesome Christian? Being Christ-like, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it at all. And we can all be there. We all can attain, not just Pastor Steve. He is amazing. Yes, there's no doubt about that. We can all, oh yeah, I see, I got him this time. Woo woo, yeah, you can say he's amazing, he is. Not just because he produced the most wonderful thing in his in the life, but you know, my wife, you know. Whoop, whoop. Oh, she's, you're funny. She's like, thank you, her sister's like, oh, okay, that's me. I'm talking about the one I married, so, you know. I mean, they're all right, I guess. All right. So, you know, now I lost it. It was there. Now I lost it. It just threw me off. It's okay. It's all right. It's all good. It's all good.
Not everybody can be as amazing as me.
That's right. Not everybody. There we go. We're back on track. Well, not everyone can be as amazing as Pastor Steve. That's so true. Man, so good. I'm just going to close right now with that right now. Thank you, Jesus. If y'all want prayer with Pastor Steve, come on up. Come on. We have an altar call. Let's just do it. Oh, goodness. But yeah. But when we have all these things, all these patterns and roots and behaviors, God wants to deal with them. He wants to make us healthy and whole. He wants to do these things for us. Because when I was going through the Ray Light series, I noticed this, that there's some sayings that are untrue. And one of the sayings was, time heals all wounds. And that is a lie. That is such a lie. In church, we say it in church all the time. Oh, time heals all wounds, brother. You know? And it's such a lie. Because time doesn't heal the wounds. All time is pain management. That's all it is. Time is just pain management. It's Jesus that comes and heals the wounds and takes away the scars. Because in Matthew 8, it says that he took up our infirmities, bore our sicknesses, and by his stripes we were healed. So it's not time that does that. It's Him. So when we have those patterns of behaviors, those roots, they're in us, but God wants to do great things to us in those spots to get us healed and whole. I mean, you have to think of it like this. I used to wrestle in high school. Had a great time wrestling. Sometimes. But it's like this, with those patterns and roots and behaviors. Those things are like two wrestlers. So think of it like this, two wrestlers. One wrestler made weight in the morning. So what I mean by made weight was, Pennsylvania, you guys come from a pretty heavy wrestling place, so I'm not going to explain it all, but making weight means that you're able to wrestle immediately. So one wrestler makes weight in the morning, he's ready to wrestle, boom. He goes throughout his day, eats whatever he wants, does whatever he wants, relaxes, you know, he's ready for the wrestling match later on the day. The other guy, the other wrestler, didn't make weight in the morning. So what he's doing, he's spitting in a trash can to try to get less weight. He's sweating, putting on like 5 layers of clothes to make weight. He's running up and down. He's not eating. He is trying to lose as much weight as possible to make weight. And then just before the match, he makes weight. Now you tell me which wrestler is probably going to win. If they have to wrestle against each other, which one is going to win? The wrestler waited first. Because he's refreshed, he's ready to go. This other one is not refreshed. This other one has been trying to do so much, and he barely made it. If we starve the behaviors and the roots that we have held on to, they will wither and die. Because we're starting to produce something new. And we let Jesus, we feed the behaviors and the roots that are helping, that are life-giving. We're spending time with Jesus. We're spending time with Him. We're doing things with Him. Him in mind. Then those older things that are not good, those older fruits, those older things that are going to, those patterns of behaviors are going to die off. Because they can't be supplied. Because they have no more, no substance. And then when we took those things with Jesus, we can enjoy the new patterns, the new roots He's establishing in us. Amen? We can definitely do that. Third thing we'll talk about, actions and decisions. Oh, this is getting good. So you can kind of see we started at the very center of our core, the very identity belief that we have. Now we've expanded a little bit out to the character that we have. Now we're going out to the actions and decisions, which this is making things more evident, more fruitful. Sometimes we don't see the patterns and the behaviors and the roots until we see action. Actions and decisions. Isn't it amazing how some of us respond to certain things? I know there was more than one time, but I'll just say one time so I sound a little bit better. There was one time I said something not so nice to my wife. If you're married and you have an opportunity to say something not so nice, don't do it. It's a bad idea. I'm just saying right now. I'm just speaking from experience. It's a bad idea. Whether it's in the heat of the moment or whether it's something else going on or it's a little shots, you know, just don't do it. Just don't. Save yourself some heartache, some headache. Just don't. And men, wives, same thing. Just don't do it to your husbands. It's just not a good thing to do. It's frowned upon. It's frowned upon. It really is. In the establishment of marriage. It's just frowned upon. I'm just saying. Jesus is not glorified. I'm just saying. So, one time I said something, and it was a reaction because of something that was done. So it was just a reaction. So, boom, I said it. I felt good about saying it. I didn't feel good about it later. I did not. Can I be real? Can I be honest? Can I be transparent a little bit here? Is this too much for you guys? All right, you might have to elect another pastor because, I mean, I'm just here, you know. If you want a perfect pastor, I mean, you got one, so, you know. Ah, you like that one, didn't you? You like that, didn't you? He's not perfect. He's close, but he's not. He's close. His mama said he was. So, you know, that's what it says. No, but we're moving in that. So I'm not perfect. So I mean, that's just what I am. So I said this one thing, and boy, it was not good. It was not good. She even remembers, like 6 months later, we get into another argument. She calls back that comment I said. I'm like, dang it, how can you remember that far back? I can't even remember what I ate for lunch yesterday, much less what I said, you know, 2 hours ago. I'm like, she called that back. I was like, oh, that was not good. It was not good. It was not a good decision or reaction at all. But they come, those reactions, those decisions, they come from those roots, from those patterns, those behaviors. And if we don't have the right ones, then our reaction time, our decision making, it's going to be swayed. It's going to be swayed in not such a good place. And then you'll get like Pastor Van did, in trouble with your wife or your spouse. And then comes other things. There I am. I'm there. I'm there on Facebook. Then you might get some things like silent treatment. Oh, so mean. Oh. I wasn't talking about you, I was talking about me. When I get hurt, I get silent. I do that. And it's not a good thing. It's a behavior I'm working to get rid of because it's not good. It's not a good thing at all. Actually, Stephanie, she's the opposite. Well, she is. It's true. She is the opposite. Pastor Stephanie is the opposite. She's like, let's do this. Hammer it out now. She's ready to throw down. She's ready to fight me. Let's go. She's got boxing gloves on. She's like, I don't care if you're wearing a face mask or not. Let's go. We're going. Let's handle this. And now, I don't care if it's 12 o'clock at night. We're handling this. Because I won't go to sleep until we're done. You know? Man, it's tough. It's true, she says. Transparency. Woo! Oh, Jesus, help me. I might need prayer after this sermon. It was one time. No, it was more than once, unfortunately. But that's what it is. Our decisions or actions are based on those things. So if we don't, you know, produce the good ones, we don't produce the godly ones, then these other ones will come out. And we don't want that. We don't want that at all. And then what happens with some of the actions and decisions then, we create an unhealthy place because we're doing that. And then sometimes we create other places where we can get away from everything. And I'm guilty of that. There's been some times in my life where I had some very hurt things. So I want to get away from reality. I want to create my own imagination, want to do my own things. And I'm not saying that, you know, having a great imagination, playing games, doing things like that, I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying, are you escaping from them to go to something else because you're so hurt? And maybe it's for you, maybe it's going on runs all the time. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's different things. I mean, they look different ways. And I'm not just saying just a one occurrence thing, that it becomes a habit, it becomes a pattern. It's a reaction to whatever happens. And then that does not create good fruit. Because those actions and decisions that we have, there's consequences to that. And that's my fourth one. There's consequences. So when I said what I said to Pastor Steph, the consequences were 6 months later, she said that to me and she was hurt because of that. Because I did not produce good fruit for her in my reaction. She ate the fruit I produced and that fruit was bad. It was rotten. It was not good. And honey, I'm sorry. Oh, good. Thank you, Jesus. The blood's washed away everything. Woo! I can enjoy life. Thank you, Jesus. You've washed away. But consequences. I mean, if you have kids, that's a big one. You do something, say something, and they always remember that for some reason. It's implanted in them. And it's because it can be just something simple. It's like a moment, and then all of a sudden, boom, that's what they feel like for the rest of their life. It's like, man, I don't want to do that to my kids, to my spouse, to my husband, to my church, to my pastor. Oh, man, I don't want to do that because that's consequences. Because I want to do things that give life. I want to reproduce things that give life and love, not things that produce fear and regret. I don't want to let my own way supersede my love for others. I don't. So when we walk through transition, and sometimes it's tough because we know our identity in Him, we know where we're going, we know what we want to be, but getting there, it can be a little tough. We can get lost in the weeds a little bit. So the one thing I like to do in my life, and just give you an example, is when you go through this whole process, because every time you make a decision, you go through this process. It's based on your belief, then it's based on your character, which is your patterns and roots. And in your belief, there could be lies in there that are affecting your patterns and roots of behaviors, your character. Then it comes down to action form, and then a decision is made, something is spoken, and then you have to deal with the consequences. I want to challenge everyone, if you have some things in your life that are not giving life and love, that are giving fear and regret, I want to challenge you. And some of you are like, yep, I know that spot right there. I know this one. I know that one. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You're like, oh yeah, I need to produce life in that. I need to get rid of that root in that. To just say it this way, then think of it this way. Is this decision or reaction going to bring life and love to the situation, or is it going to bring fear and regret? Just do it like that. That is the basic way of doing it. Is this decision, is this reaction, whether it's in the heat of the moment or whether it's just like you have a little time to decide or a little time to do something, a decision that needs to be made, is this going to produce life and love, or is this going to produce fear and regret? And we can do it. We can pursue life and love. And we can ask God to help us. And then once we say those things, we're like, okay, that was life and love. Where did I feel? I felt like I wanted to do and say something else. I really sensed I want to do that portion, but I didn't. I did life and love. Lord, help me go back to what root or what ungodly belief or whatever it is that's causing me to behave like that in the spur of the moment. I had one of my friends, he was in a car accident. And his car was upside down, and it was a really bad one. And it was just like, I mean, it looked bad too. And he's like, Van, my reaction was this when I was in that car. It wasn't like explicative cuss words. It wasn't like, how could this happen? He said it was, thank you, Jesus, for your protection. That was his reaction. Thank you, Father. You're still good. You still love me. You still want what's best for me. Thank you, Father. He didn't go off about how the other person cut him off and the car flipped over a few times. He said, thank you. That was his reaction because he had been in the Lord's presence. That's because he had different roots that were not about him, that were about Jesus. So I want to do some ministry right now because I really feel like the Lord has some things He wants to do in this house. And He wanted to do some things. First of all, He had a word for someone, and it goes along with what Dory was sharing earlier. And someone has been in this deep, dark pit. I don't know who it is. God didn't tell me who it was, and that's fine. I'm not worried about that. But someone was in this deep, dark pit. And that's where they were. And I want to give you hope and encouragement today that you don't have to stay there. God did not call you into that dark pit. He wants to bring you out. He wants to give you fullness of life, fullness of joy. He wants to do what's awesome and what's best for you. So that's for someone this morning. Also, He wanted to do some healing. I was like, yes, I love it when the Lord wants to do healing. That's one of my favorite things. It really is. I mean, I love the prophetic words. I love what He does with words of knowledge and things like that. I love He does inner healing and things, but I don't know. There's something about healing the physical manifestation of that is just, it's just, to me, it's just awesome. And probably, to be honest, I think I love it so much is because it gave me hope for my father to be healed. Unfortunately, he wasn't. But it's so good to see that God has such a hold on my life that even though things didn't happen the way I wanted it to, I can still say he's still my God. I still trust him completely. Whether he heals you or not is not the issue. It's that I will still stand and believe this word no matter what the cost, no matter what my situation is, because I'm no longer living in covenant for myself. I'm living my covenant for him. And he's brought me to this place, and I'm like, thank you, God. So I love seeing healing. I love seeing him move in that way because it gives me hope. And like Romans 5 says, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us, and hope does not put us to shame. Come on, somebody. So, what I want to do is, a few things the Lord was speaking to me today. So, healing for, I feel like there's some people with, like, some type of shooting pain down their leg. I think it was the left-hand side. So shooting pain down their leg. Also was for the right elbow was another one. Headaches were another one. So on the right-hand side of the head, headaches. And then like tightness or some type of contusion like in the back, part of your back. So if that's one of you, I want you to raise your hand. You don't tell me which one it is. But if that's one of you, I just want you to raise your hand. And what we're going to do is we're going to walk out and see what God wants to do with that. So if you want to be bold to do it, go for it. You can do it. If it's not, Pastor Kurt, okay? Don't tell me which one. Pastor Steph. Anyone else? Any one of those things. Stanley, okay? All right, we got that. Okay? All right, so keep your hand raised just for a second. Now, this is not to shame or anything. I mean, our bodies, we need a little help with our bodies sometimes. I mean, our bodies are not like they should act sometimes, I feel like, you know? But I want everyone just to stretch your hands towards these people. Towards Diana, Pastor Kurt, Stanley, Pastor Steph. Stretch your hands. Or Nancy. And right now, we're just going to declare Matthew 8. He took up our infirmities and bore our sickness, and by his stripes we're healed. So, Father, we thank you right now what you did and what you accomplished on the cross. We thank you for your healing touch in every one of these lives. And we speak healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Now, I want you all to kind of try it out. To try it out, see what it feels like. See if it feels better, feels worse, feels the same. And I want you to just give it just for a second, see what you can do. Try to do something that you couldn't do before. Or if something went away, then that's fine. Actually, that's great if something went away. That's amazing. You know, Jesus is healing. All right, so how's it feel? A little better? So on a scale from 1 to 10, what was the scale that it came in, and what was the scale of what it would be now? Okay, so pain level decrease, so less pain. That's awesome. All right, who else? Pastor Kurt? 4 to a 2, okay. That's awesome. That's good. Stanley, what about yourself? Even less now. Awesome. Pastor Steph, Nancy? It's okay. If it's the same, it's okay. It's not like I can heal. It's Jesus that does it. It's not up to me. It's not up to how good my prayer is to see the healing. I can't do anything. But he does it all. He does wonderful things. That's about the same? Okay. Nancy? About the same? All right. We're going to pray one more time. And we're going to believe in God to do what he says he can do. And we believe it because he's good. So, Father, right now, we thank you for the pain level being decreased. We thank you for that because you are awesome. You are amazing. We thank you for that. But Father, we speak wholeness to these bodies right now. We say thank you, Father, for wholeness right now. So no more pain in the name of Jesus. No more shooting pain at all. Let the pain be dispersed right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Let's everyone just put your hands up for a moment and let's just thank him. Just thank him right now. Thank you, Father. We worship you. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing today in our lives. We thank you for what you're doing in healing today. We thank you, Father, that we're transitioning, becoming more like you. We thank you, Father, that you have great things in store for us. Great plans, great destiny, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We receive your love. We receive your grace. We receive just our identity in you and new behaviors and new roots, oh God. We receive new actions and reactions, Father. New decisions, Father, that are going to produce the consequence of eternal life that's going to bring life and love into relationships instead of fear and regret. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, so for my people, how do you feel now? That's Kurt. Try it out. It's two? Okay. So it went from a 4 to 2. It's awesome. God did something good. Stanley? Okay. So we're what would we say, like a 3 to a 1 or like a 5 to a 2 or 2 or 1? That's awesome. That's awesome. Diana? Pretty good? What would you say? Was that a 5 before? 2? Okay. I like 2. 2 is good. 2 feels better, doesn't it? Do you feel better? How's your stuff? Slightly better? Okay. That's all right. Nancy? Well, let's just pray for Nancy real quick. Let's just see what God wants to do in those feet. So can we just proclaim the name of the Lord? So Father, we just thank you for Nancy. We stand on your word because your word is life. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Nancy's heart, what you're doing in her mind, what you're doing in her body, Father. And Lord, we just declare healing right now on those feet, on her condition. We say thank you, Father, right now for restoring, Father, her youth of her feet. We thank you, Father, for restoring wholeness and healthiness, Father, on her feet. And even through her whole body, Father. But especially her feet, Father, and her legs. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We declare it right now, healing right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for your healing touch right now. Thank you, Father.
Father, we're thankful that your word is truth and your word tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. And pain is a name and it must bow. So we speak to pain in bodies today. We speak to pain in Nancy's feet today. And we command you to leave in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. We command you to bow your knee and leave in Jesus' name.
Yes.
And Jesus, we see by your healing examples that we can talk to our bodies. Mm-hmm. So we talk to Nancy's feet right now. And we say, be healed and restored and strengthened in Jesus' name. And we speak to the knee that was mentioned today and the back that was mentioned today and the hip that was mentioned today and the head that was mentioned today. We speak to each one of those ailments and anybody here in this place today. Be healed, restored, set back in correct motion In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Father, we agree in prayer for the person that's in despair or in depression, and we agree they do not have to stay there, and that they can climb out with hope in Jesus, that their hope in Jesus will allow them to take a step and the next step and the next step and the next step, and that they'll start to see light and they'll start to emerge from that despair and that hole. And we cast you off despair and hopelessness in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's give the Lord a clap offering and say thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for healing, for touching, for what you're wanting to do in each and every one of us. Amen and amen. Well, CLCC, my time has come.